begins now. And it begins with some of the audio that we've got from our exchanges with Matt LaFleur and with Jordan Love. Again, I don't know for certain that he is playing. It is my opinion that he will play, just like it was
my...
What
does Big JJ say?
Big who?
Big J. Big Journalism J will be. What does he say?
Now, he says he reports the news, and the news is that he is trending toward playing.
Okay. So Big J thinks he's playing. Okay.
I do. I think he's playing.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, I told you that 2-3 weeks ago.
I don't recall that conversation. Apparently, it's very hard to find the archived audio.
I feel like there's a clip somewhere on that.
I should have been looking for that instead of writing pirate questions last night. That probably would have been like a better use of my time.
No, we needed the questions. You just messed them up, or at least one of them.
Skeenis. Paul Skeenis.
You're being a bit of a Skeenis today. So I used the information that I had gleaned from my two favorite former Packers right tackles during our conversation on Wednesday to talk to Jordan Love about the idea of, you know, not you're thinking about the injury going in, and then once you get out there, you're not thinking about it anymore, right? That's kind of what you and Blue both said to us.
Correct.
But there was an exchange. It was not, this was not me. Not that I haven't pissed people off before. And I don't think Jordan was like legitimately pissed, but he was a little bit like, kind of a question is that.
Like whatever, man, right? Like a whatever, man question.
Jesse, you want to just play it and see what Tausch thinks?
Yeah, so I also have you follow up to the one that he didn't particularly like. So I have both of them here.
Wildy doesn't follow up.
Big follow up guy. Yeah.
How many times we have to go over this? He's not a follow up guy.
I'm as much of a follow up guy as you are a foodie.
So we do have the one that got him going, and then we have Wildy's follow up, both available here.
What were your feelings if they, I mean, he's run so well, if they put in a package of plays for him, the lines or whatever?
Yeah. I think I could do the same thing.
Jordan, I'm curious, though, talking to guys that have come back from MCLs, they say they think about it a lot going into the game, and once you start playing, you stop thinking about it. You think you can do that, too? And how important is that to not have it in any way kind of affecting your thought process?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's like we talk about the mental aspect of having an injury and trying to overcome it and, you know, knowing that you're not going to be 100%, but I mean, that's like I said before, that's kind of the territory you're in, and with dealing with the injury is just knowing you're not going to be 100%. So definitely not putting any weight on trying to, you know, you got to protect yourself, but not thinking about re-injuring myself or the risk of that. You know, just going out there and playing, and if it happens, it happens. You know, I mean, control what I control at the end of the day, and try and protect myself as best I can, and you know, just, you know, hope that those things don't happen.
So I think he's out on the idea of having Malik Willis have a package of plays that he's coming in for. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think that's abundantly clear. And I saw different bloggers and different Packer Twitterers talking about that. And no, that's not going to happen. And I always felt that way when, you know, people would say, oh, the Wildcat was hot. Or, should we put Wildcat in? Should we get Randall Cobb? You're paying a guy $50-some-odd million.
Yeah.
You want him out. If he's going to play, he's going to play. I don't want the ball out of his hands. So that never
I think I
sense.
Do the same thing.
Exactly, Jordan. I couldn't agree more. I don't think you could do the exact same thing as Malik Willis, especially with your knee not being 100%.
Correct.
But
I think I do the same thing.
If I decide I'm going to play Jordan Love, which I would, and I would do, I'm going to play Jordan Love. And I'm not going to try and fit a round... Is it a round hole into a square peg? Whatever. Is round peg into
a square peg hole? Into a round hole. Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not doing that. I am going to use the skill set, and that's why I've attaboyed Matt LaFleur beyond belief, is because that's what he's done. And he's not going to be having him do a ton of RPOs where he's reading the – like, that's not going to be a big part of the game plan. But I'm not interested in bringing Malik Willis in for 5 or 6 plays. And – taking Jordan Love out of the game. I'm not interested in doing that, not when I believe in Jordan Love the way I do.
So you said about RPOs, and among the other answers, and I don't know if this is one of the ones that Jesse clipped, because he was very busy leading the Badger volleyball team to defeat again since he's taken over the pre- and post-game show.
Hey, by the way, if we're going to talk about jinxes with new radio gigs on the Badgers radio network, I don't want to say anything about anybody else on the panel, but things haven't been the same since you were there either, old boy.
What are you talking about? First off, I've been doing it 10 or 11 years, and I had an undefeated season one of those years, so I'm not
he
real...
He only did the home games, though.
So what? We didn't lose. So no, don't try to pin this on me. And by the way, yeah, so get out of here with that, Nelson.
There's some comparisons. If you're going to throw it at me, I got to throw it back at you.
What is the comparison? No, I've been doing this 11 or 12 years, and we had an undefeated season. We went to the blanket Big Ten Championship. So get out of here with that foolishness.
Maybe fewer California adventures then for you. Get back to the way things were, and we'll get a better...
undefeated at home, yeah. Though. Uh-huh. Okay. I can't believe you did that. I have a newfound respect for you, Jesse. That was good. You got after the big fella.
Don't back down, Tosh.
Yeah, there you go. And he did. He just did. Look at him. He's so downtrodden. You can't even see his face.
No, I'm just trying. I still got this thorn, this rose thorn in my finger that I thought was out. And now I'm looking at it a little more deeply, and I think it's still in there. No, I'm annoyed by that. So, no, I'm not backing down at all.
Okay. The question that I was going to ask before we got into the jinxes for Badger programs and the announcing roles.
By the way, I didn't bring that up now. I brought it up with Levo. I didn't bring it up with you, just so that we're all on the same page.
That was just my opportunity. I thought of it when Levering was. I didn't want to air our dirty laundry in front of our guests. I wanted to take care of that when it was just us.
That's fair. Okay.
If I may get to my question so we can get to a break here. He talked a lot about the idea of getting the ball out of his hand quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, in many instances, that is an important part of this offense, right? That this offense is designed for quarterbacks to deal the ball quickly. But there are going to be times when the other guys get paid too and you aren't able to get the ball out because of good coverage.
Correct.
And I'm just curious if you are, and we will not go back to the offensive line having to protect him more effectively, but in those instances, how effective do we expect him to be able to be? And how smart? You said you don't think about it once you start playing. Well, if you don't think about it at all, there's a chance you're going to take some risks that you shouldn't be taking. Is that not a fair view of the situation he's going to find himself in?
No, again, that comes back to game plan. To me, it's more about game plan. You're going to end up in some scenarios where you're going to be at risk. That's football. Not everything runs smoothly. Just because you want to get the ball out of your hand quick, opposing defenses will realize that too and do different things to not let you do
right.
That. So it's you can limit that. You can kind of try and say, I'm not going to put him in these situations, but there will be times he's going to be in those situations because football is an imperfect game. And the idea of getting the ball, that's one of the core tenets of good offenses in this league is, if you're asking offensive linemen to try and hold blocks for 4 and 5 seconds on a consistent basis, you are going to get your quarterback killed. I don't care how good your offensive line is. You better mix and match and get the ball out of your hand. You need to keep the defense guessing, and especially early in the game when you're a couple of weeks where you haven't played. It's so important to establish rhythm and get your timing back. Because I don't care how much practice you're doing or what you did with Flea or Nate, you got to get back out there. You got to reestablish. And that's what this week will be about. And can you overcome maybe some mistakes and a little rust early because you're getting more and more comfortable late? That's what this game will be about for me, watching Jordan. And I'm guessing from Matt LaFleur's standpoint, understanding it ain't going to be all pretty. It's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Find a way, and you're hoping that your quarterback regains that confidence in his knee and in everything else by getting back out there.
Let's ask the most important question. How does this impact your Prize Picks plan? Are you just going to steer clear of Jordan Love because it's a uncertain?
I'm going to look at the rushing numbers. I don't know if Prize Picks will project that. But I would think it will help me in my projection, and I'll probably go less because of the things I just mentioned. But I know this, Caleb Williams, I'll go more at 0.5, still another week with the 0.5 yards for old boy. And my dog, Narv Dog's been good for old T, been real good. 1.5 field goals. He's flown by that all week. Prize Picks, the easiest and best daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members. Simple to play, more or less. Just told you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go less on Jordan. I'm going to go more on Narvi. I'm going to go more on Caleb. And then I might dabble and get a four-piece. Because if you do a four-piece, you can turn $10 into $1,000 if you do the right projection. Sign up today. Get $50 instantly when you play a $5 play. You don't even need to win to get that $50 bonus. Download the PrizePicks app today. Use that code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on PrizePicks for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks. Run.
Your
game.
Wait a minute. Am I not doing this anymore now? Now you've booted me from the middle word?
No. I just yelled game right after you yelled your.
Oh, it looked like you were saying your too. I couldn't hear you because I was delivering it with such authority.
No, this is perfect. I think we're changing up copy pretty soon, so we better make sure we're taking good care of this.
You're going to get a sunburn on the side of your face with the way the sun is coming in that window.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Southern California day. Caleb Williams, 0.5, last week, I believe, of this little promo. Jump in if you haven't signed up yet. You've been, I don't know, prize picks again. You get that hundo. You get a free hundo when you use the code WI. What are we doing? Come on. Yeah, that sun is bright, isn't it? It's a bright sun in SoCal.
More next. It's Will Dantosh.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Don't ever see it sober if I'm breathing. Racing to the moonlight and I'm speeding. I'm headed to the stars.
For those of you that tuned in late and haven't heard, scheduled to appear at 11 Central, noon Eastern, which I believe is his time zone, and 9 a.m. Pacific time, where the sun is shining under old T's face. Charles Woodson scheduled to appear. Very excited about that.
Hey, do you, Jason, do you want me to... Tomorrow's my last day in Cali, at least until I come for the show purposes.
I was going to say, don't you have a game to call?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm out here.
Is it?
Do you want me to roll the dice? Matt and Heather have a great spot up on top of this little canyon. Do you want me to go outdoor only tomorrow with the risk that the connection might be suspect? Or do you want me to stick in the sun here? Because I am open to whatever you guys would like me to do.
Are you prepared when the signal is poor to move back into...
Well, what I'm nervous about, as I told you, the thorn bush that drapes the handrail down these steps.
Got a score to settle with that thorn bush. Yeah,
I am going to have to climb to get to where I'm like a bear. I'll have to climb.
Have you considered like some sort of like work glove
to go to climb to use the hand? Yeah, just, I guess I could.
You don't have to use it for the whole show. Like those big like Hulk hands.
Yeah, no, I kind of understand that. Yeah.
Didn't a fan give you a walking stick a bunch of years ago? You should have brought that
great.
With you.
I didn't haul that walking stick out here, though.
Well, so. I think I have one of those, too. Hold on.
Like Moses through the desert.
Well, he's rummaging.
Yeah, it's great. Hey,
rummaging.
Jason, great radio. You looking for a walking stick.
I thought we were a video. I thought it was a video.
Look at that.
And it makes the rain sound when you tip it upside down.
That's not the one. That's a good... Is that a strong, sturdy cane?
That's an annoying walking cane.
Very annoying. Okay, so what do you guys... Is this?
I love that we have a TV show now.
Is that the road you guys want me to go down tomorrow?
First of all, I don't want you to further injure yourself. Because for a big, tough guy who played through a lot of injuries... There's been a lot of belly aching about this thorn there. You are the thorn bird.
I'm like Daniel in the Bible, you know, the lion deal, where that little lion got caught in that little rose got caught in the
I ball. Don't think that that's I don't think that you're crossing over like a children's book.
I don't think so.
How is this the second time you've done this in the same show?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think there's like a mouse in a children's book that gets the thorn out of the paw of the lion, and it has nothing to do with Daniel.
I'll revisit with Daniel and the Lion. That and
was,
I'll get back to
that was
to
the
guys.
Second Pippi Longstocking installment, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
How long would it take you to get from the mountaintop back to the basement there if
Well,
needed?
Do I catch another thorn from the rose bush? If I do, it could be a while. I don't know. Jason, you put that cane away. It sounds like you're flushing the toilet, is what it sounds like.
It's supposed to be rain. It's supposed to sound like rain.
It sounds like
I don't mean to rain on your parade. I do want to ask about Rashid Walker and the exchange that I had with Matt LaFleur. I did not send Jesse the audio of Rashid basically saying, can we talk about something else? Although I probably should have. I am curious about how much of a concern this is. You and Bulaga talked about it extensively yesterday. Here's what Matt LaFleur said about all of the penalties. Six out of the team's 16 or 18 total penalties have been on Rashid Walker.
Rashid seems like a pretty conscientious dude. How has he handled the number of penalties that he's had and the coaching that he's probably gotten from you and Luke and Steno to try and get
He's got to keep battling, you know? Because we've seen it in him. He's been able to play at a high level, and that's the expectation. And so we're going to keep working through it, and we know that we collectively as a group, not only just the offensive line, but our entire football team, there's a lot to improve upon in terms of our fundamentals and our details, and we just got to be dialed in. I thought we had a great day of practice today in terms of just that being intentional about your work and being focused, and I think that's a big part of that. So we'll continue to stress that and try to get that out of each and every individual.
I don't want to pick on Rashid, but when he's talking about focus and fundamentals, I think that underscores what you and Bulaga talked about yesterday of his fundamentals getting out of whack and Brian talking about his first three kicks in pass protection. Like, is that something that you as offensive linemen constantly have to think about and focus on and not get lax about? Because once your fundamentals are not on point, that's when you get your butt beat, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
I think it's more about just tightening things up. You're not going to like reinvent yourself, but you can have a tendency to maybe slip into a bad habit or two. I don't think that's the case with Sheed. You know, Brian broke down the film and talking about pass sets. Not every pass set's going to be exactly perfection. Like, it's not. You're going to have sometimes maybe you're a half step late off the ball, especially on the road. And you have to just fight and compete and find a way to win. I really think this is more with Sheed. It's, I think, finishing with your feet. That's if I'm Steno and Luke Butkus, that's what I'm talking to Rashid Walker about, because he's proven that he's a good enough athlete to play where he needs to be. So now it's more about, okay, why are these calls being called on me? You can sit and pout. Now, I mean, listen, in doing the Badger games and having a really successful record as the analyst for that team, you see things and it's, okay, well, why is that happening? You can either sit and say, well, this is how it's going to be, or you can look at it and say, all right, this is what the ref is seeing. I'm going to complain about holding, but it doesn't matter. I have to fix it because they're obviously seeing something. So a couple of the what I would call ticky-tack, there have been a few holds that Sheed has done that are legit. When you get your feet beat and you're running with the quarterback and the guy's got you beat on the edge, you do what you got to do. The run plays where he's running, where, you know, Josh Jacobs, I think a couple of the holds were on when he was running, it was just as simple as you stopped your feet and kind of did this with your hands, and the ref sees a jersey pull or something and Josh Jacobs running by him, they're going to make that call, even though it's not a relevant hold. That's where you just keep running your feet. And I always like when you feel and you can hear and sense when the ball carrier is past you, I would always like to kind of finish with my feet. And if you end up going to the ground or trying to, it doesn't get called that way. It's when you're standing and when you're doing this, you want to keep your feet. I want to make sure I said, but running your feet through contact until the ball carrier is gone, that's what I would be hammering. I can live with a Rashid Walker pass protection hold if it's that he's laid out of his stance or if Jordan or Malik roll out, and you just get one of those fluky calls. It sucks. That happens. These are ticky-tack that can be completely avoided if you just run your feet through that contact and not stop. You're not going to get that call.
Daniel in the Lion's Den should not be confused with the Golden Book, The Lion's Paw, based on an African folktale where a mouse removes a thorn from the lion's paw. It's also apparently a fable of Androcles and the lion. So we've got a lot of lions and paws, but the big myth of one Mark Tauscher does indeed have a thorn in it.
Big Androcles guy.
I think he played left tackle for Indiana. So be that as it may, even as you play through pain, because you're a gamer like Jordan Love's going to be on Sunday, it makes the post-game Coors Light that much sweeter that you pushed through the pain and played through it.
Coors Light, brewed with that three-star. I had a Coors Light last night. Long day yesterday, long, good, fun day, and I capped it off with that Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold finish, cold lagered, and cold package because it's made to chill. And you know I love it when the mountains are blue. And I can see there's the – I think it's the Camelback Mountain. Saddleback. Saddleback Mountain right out my window here. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. Yeah, Golden, Colorado.
Granddad's Bluff, if you will. All right, I want to talk a little bit more about this. You just mentioned it with Sheed and his protection. The idea of Jordan Love being able to extend plays or not. I think that little piece of paper is really going to do the trick. Good luck with that. We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. This ain't a good time, but when is it ever?
I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, the whole crew talked yesterday. We'll talk to Jeff Hafley, Adam Stenovich, Rich Bisaccia today. But I am very curious, Tausch, because and I remember Rodgers in 14 with the torn calf. He did change the way he played until there was a play against Dallas in the playoff game where he took off and ran. And you thought, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing that. And I think he gained like 13 yards, but it probably wasn't the smartest decision he made. He just reacted, right? To your point about not thinking about it. I'm really curious to see, because Jordan Love, having been an understudy to Rodgers for 3 years, really does play the position in some of the same ways that Rodgers did. You use your legs to subtly move inside the pocket, or supplely, as some might have thought I said earlier in the show, and then you use them to get out and make throws. It's not, you know, run like Malik Willis that he tends to do. But I was curious how this was going to impact his ability to use that part of his game, knowing that while he may be good enough to play, he's probably not going to be 100%. And so that is what I asked him, and here is how he answered.
Jordan, speaking of whoever the opponent is, if you want to come, I know everybody's got good pass rushers, but the team that's leading the league in sacks and you're dealing with your knee, what's the challenge in making sure that you're mobile enough in the pocket and getting out of the pocket against the pass rush like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't think no matter what team it is you're talking about, I mean, that's always the goal, is to get the ball to your hands as fast as possible. You know, anytime you're holding the ball or just sitting in the pocket, you know, those guys are really good on the other side, and they're going to find a way to get home. So it's always trying to get the ball out of my hands as quick as possible. And we'll do some good things protection-wise to be able to stop that. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're, like I said, they're a good defense. They got really good rushers. And, you know, Flores does a really good job of sending a lot of pressures. It's an exotic defense. So you just got to be locked in to be able to pick some of that stuff up. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's football, and there's always a risk of, you know, getting sacked, getting hit. So, like I said, trying to get the ball out of my hands as fast as possible.
So I think he's going to try and get the ball out of his hand as fast as possible. I think that's what he's saying.
From that. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
But as you just pointed out a couple of segments ago, the Vikings know that. Now, the Indianapolis Colts also knew that the Packers were going to run the ball a lot, and they didn't do anything.
Sure. I'm not sure they did. I watched that game.
They sure didn't look like they knew it. And if they did know it, they didn't do much about it. But what can a defense do to mess that up? And then what's the counter move with a guy with a bum knee?
Yeah, I mean, the defense could put – what I would do is you go heavy man, you don't give any easy throws, and you make him sit in the pocket. But that gives you that vulnerability of big plays. And if I'm Flores in this Viking defense, I'm obviously going to tweak a few things, but your defense is working. You just shut down C.J. Stroud. You've had a lot of success in – that's always the tricky part about doing the kind of game plan by week. Do you want to have your basic principles that you live by? Absolutely. Do you want to have that flexibility to try to counter opposing team strengths? Yes. How you mesh that is always that secret sauce to figure out how you're going to play defense. And that's why Flores had a ton of success last year in game one against Jordan Love. Jordan Love was not the Jordan Love that he was at the end of the season. And neither having Aaron Jones was kind of a nice little thing. How they approach that, I would think I want to make things – I'm not as interested in heating him up as maybe other people are. Uh-huh. I want to cover and make him sit in the pocket and see how comfortable he is with people around his legs and his feet and not give up those early quick little bubbles to whoever you're going to try and get that football to. I think that's where I'm looking at it and saying, I want to make him stay in the pocket, not let him get out on bootlegs and have easy free throws. I want to see how he handles people being around his feet.
All right. That's really good. I want to get to a question I asked of Matt LaFleur about Xavier McKinney. And yes, I was thinking about Charles Woodson when I asked, because I was already making plans with Charles for him to join us today. I think you and him are going to get after me. I'm prepared for that. I'm going in, and then I'm going to try and explain to him why I made the comparison.
Well, you know, I'm not going to back down. That I know.
That's not what I hear. You tend to do that. You know who doesn't back down? Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. They fight for you if you've been injured in an accident. Go to gruber-law.com. Find out more about the firm, about all the great things they do in our community, and, of course, David's history with our communities and all across Wisconsin. Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. We will get to that answer from Matt LaFleur and the comparison that may or may not be apt. Dude has three interceptions in three games. That seems very Charles Woodson-esque. We'll talk about it with Matt LaFleur talking about Xavier McKinney next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Charles Woodson scheduled to appear at the top of the hour. I'm standing by this. Now, let me state this now for the record and then again when Charles joins us. I'm not saying that Xavier McKinney is the player that Charles Woodson was. I'm saying that he's had the kind of effect that Charles had on teammates and that side of the football, guys gravitating to him. Tausch, we've talked before about how guys started to dress differently because of Charles.
Yeah, I feel like you're revisioning history.
No, this is what I've said all along.
Jesse, did he not make that comp like a while ago? And now all of a sudden he's changed it to, well, the impact. Not, I'm comparing the impact, not the player.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know, Tausch. I don't seem to recall Jason ever saying Xavier McKinney is Charles Woodson. But I do seem to remember him saying that the acquiring of Xavier McKinney reminds him of when Charles Woodson was acquired for the Green Bay Packers, whatever year that was.
Influence, etc. Now, have I said that this is the second coming of Micah Hyde with Evan Williams? Yes. Have I said that Tucker Kraft is the new Mark Chmura? Yes, those are both accurate. This one's a little more nuanced. But again, we'll see. Charles might get after me. And I can't blame him if he does. But I do think the guy's got three interceptions in three games, which is the kind of stuff that Charles Woodson would do on the field in addition to his leadership off of it. But before we get to that, I want you to hear what Matt LaFleur said. I think Jesse questioned the way I phrased this question.
It was a little Chris Farley.
Remember that time that you signed Xavier McKinney and he turned out to be really good? Why are you so blurry? Are those my eyes or is that your camera?
You don't want to see me. What's going on back here? Yeah.
No, according to Madison Weight Loss, we do want to see you. You look great.
I don't know.
Here is
what
my
do you mean
question.
You don't know? Well, who would know if you don't know?
It's a great question.
Becca? Here's Matt LaFleur.
Did you know, or at what point, or how did you figure out what you had in McKinney, not as a player, because you could watch all the tape you needed, but the impact he's had on the guys in that room and the guys in that locker room?
Yeah, I think he's done a great job of just, and the guys have done a great job of welcoming him to our football team. I think he's a really intelligent player. I think everybody respects the work he puts in on a daily basis. And it's been fun getting to know him on a personal level, and always had a lot of respect and admiration from him from afar in terms of having to go against him and just the type of player he is. He's definitely made an impact in our locker room.
And that is my comparison. Look, Jair Alexander, and I do think it's partially Jeff Hafley and the defense as well. There's no doubt about that being a component, but he sits with Xavier McKinney in all the meetings. Like, I think Xavier McKinney has brought out a better side in Jair Alexander. I think Jair Alexander would tell you that. I think, you know, another thing that Charles did that we'll bring up with him when he joins us, guys watched film differently because of him. Right, I remember Tremont Williams admitting, I didn't know how to watch film until I met Charles. And it changed everything for him. And so it's those types of things. And then on top of it, he's playing really well. And he's making impact plays, which is what Charles obviously is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for. I'm not sending Xavier McKinney to Canton.
But you're not.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's hard to get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We just have had a lot of them come through here. I mean, we're pretty lucky that way.
Would you say Charles was in charge back in the day? Would you?
I would. I think I probably would.
Would Sonya?
I would not use that one, no. But I'm fairly really confident.
Bad. So here's what I will say. When you're talking about X, he's obviously made a huge impact. And again, I have a couple of questions. What the hell are the New York Giants doing?
Sure.
Captain of your football team, ascending football player, yet you don't value safety? What are you looking at around the league? Like, what are you doing? Thank you very much, Jimmy Shin, however you say his last name. It's what a disaster that organization is. So, okay, thank you. Because that's what you hope that you draft a kid and he exudes the leadership and the playmaking that he does, you want to pay guys like that. Thank you for not. And now we get him on a very good deal here in Green Bay. Highest in the market, but from a structure, Russ Paul, not since Nick Collins have we seen someone with the range that X has had.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown that already. He's only going to get better as this goes. Now, hopefully he stays healthy and but his attitude, his leadership, you throw a C on his jersey and you don't think you want him around for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Poor me and coach, as a Packer fan, I want him on my team. And thank you for allowing that to happen. Thank you, thumbs up for Facebook or whoever does that. I don't know. It's so weird that happens. It's It's
when you're talking.
Weird.
You're making the hand
weird.
Signal, and that's what's
no,
causing it.
I didn't
it.
Go like this. I'm doing this, and I'm not getting thumbs up. So, no, that's not true. And by the way, you want to know where this world is going. I'm not going to reveal who told me this, but there's now you have to – if you're getting a business loan for something, you now have someone from a bank coming out to make sure it's not an AI – what are those called, Jesse? The AI images or deepfake? Deepfake is the word I was looking for.
Sounds like a thing, yeah.
Someone had to come to someone's office yesterday just to validate that this person existed. That's where society's going, just so you know. It's crazy, crazy deal.
Well, you can go down to Austin, Texas and validate that Tito Beverage has Tito's vodka down there.
Yeah, the New York Giants didn't want to pour me in, Coach, when it came to X. Well, Packer fans, Tito's Handmade Vodka on game day, and Xavier McKinney, pour me in, Coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on a couch, root, root, root for your favorite safety and your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody. Salt the rim of a Tito Rita. Take home the win with a Tito's and whatever your heart desires. Soda, cranberry, whatever. You're calling a game. You change up your roster. You wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly. I love Tito's. Let's see if I get a fake thumbs up. Let's go. Let's go. No. No thumbs up. I don't
It's more it. Subtle than that. More supple.
I don't
more
get
supple
thumbs
than
up
that.
Bits. It's not supple.
Well, thumbs up when Charles Woodson scheduled to appear in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.